Welcome to this podcast from Control Risks, the global specialist risk consultancy. I'm Casper Layton, and in this episode, we're going to look at the impact of the situation in Venezuela on kidnap for ransom across Latin America. Since Nicolas Maduro began his controversial second term as president of Venezuela in January 2019, a political, economic, and humanitarian crisis has engulfed the country. Nearly a year later, political, operational, and security risks in Venezuela remain high, and the business climate continues to deteriorate. The impact of this crisis has been felt far beyond Venezuela's borders, in many ways. One of the less explored aspects of the crisis is its impact on kidnap for ransom in the region. Joining me to discuss this is Emily Knowles, who's a senior analyst in our special risks analysis team here at Control Risks. Emily, what are the main ways the crisis in Venezuela has affected kidnap for ransom in the region?
Yeah, so I think there are three ways that we've really seen the crisis in Venezuela having an impact on kidnap and ransom in the region. One of the biggest shifts has been the increase in vulnerable migrant and refugee populations. At this point, the United Nations estimates that more than 4.5 million Venezuelans have fled the country just in this most recent crisis. And a huge number of those, I mean, around 80% are being hosted in the region, so Latin America and the Caribbean. These populations really do provide local criminal groups with a new target for kidnap for ransom. And we've seen an increasing number of Venezuelans falling victim in the region. Another shift has been the export of criminal groups from Venezuela to surrounding countries. So local police forces in several of Venezuela's neighbours and further afield in the region have been arresting a number of Venezuelans in connection with cases of kidnap for ransom. On top of that, of course, the deteriorating economic and security situation has created a permissive environment for kidnap for ransom in Venezuela itself, and official corruption as well as criminal extortion are adding significant pressure to the business environment.
So what makes the climate in Venezuela conducive to high levels of kidnap for ransom?
It can be a little bit difficult with Venezuela to untangle, you know, what's new and what's not new on the basis of this most recent crisis, because Venezuela itself has consistently had one of the highest kidnapping rates in Latin America. So it's not just recent times that are seeing this as a problem. And the hotspots in the country, so Miranda State, Capital District and El Agua State, have also not shifted much in recent months. These three states consistently represent around 60% of the kidnaps we record in the country. But since this economic and political crisis has deepened, we have seen a couple of developments. And one of these is a significant number of ransom demands being made in foreign currency. So almost all of the cases we've recorded since the beginning of the year have had ransom demands made in US dollars rather than the Venezuelan Bolivar, often with requests for vehicles or other high-value possessions thrown in. And this isn't completely new for Venezuela, but the continued devaluation of the local currency, as well as spiraling inflation and limited access to bolivars, has created an even stronger incentive for criminal gangs to ask for payment in alternative currencies. They've also had an incentive to target the local business community, and we think largely because of their perceived access to funds. So the business sector has been the target of 52% of the incidents of kidnap for ransom we've recorded in the country since the beginning of the year. Most of these victims have been local owners of small or medium-sized businesses.
So how has the crisis affected other countries in Venezuela's neighbourhood?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I think when we think of the Venezuela crisis, we're often thinking about the impact on businesses and individuals who are operating in the country. But it certainly had a knock-on effect in its neighbourhood. Perhaps one of the most high profile of these, especially given the public spat between Maduro and Iván Duque, the president of Colombia, on the extent to which Maduro is supporting armed groups in the border regions between Colombia and Venezuela, has been this rise in kidnaps attributed to armed groups in these border regions. So we have seen rising numbers of incidents of kidnap for ransom in border regions on the Colombian side, like Arauca, Norte de Santander, Cesar, and La Guajira. And this has been matched on the Venezuelan side as well in the border provinces of Táchira and Zulia. So far in 2019, just to put that into a bit of context, I mean, armed groups have carried out 34% of the kidnaps for ransom that we've recorded along the Colombia-Venezuela border. Now, this is up from 6% in 2018 and just 2% in 2017. The risk, of course, here is highest for businesses with supply lines that run close to these border areas, who should adopt appropriate security measures. Now, I think it's fair to say that this isn't, you know, solely down to the crisis in Venezuela. We did see in August a number of prominent FARC guerrillas declaring that they were returning to arms. So this is nearly 3 years after they signed a peace deal with the government. And we are still a long way off peak rates of kidnap for ransom associated with FARC. But if the peace deal comes under more pressure, we would expect to see incident numbers back on the rise.
And so what about Venezuela's other neighbours?
Well, Trinidad is separated from Venezuela by just 7 nautical miles, and Venezuelan criminal groups have been increasingly targeting the island since the crisis began. So in May, we had a prominent Venezuelan gang leader arrested in Point 14, a district in southern Trinidad. And in the waters between the two countries, we've also recorded a number of incidents of local fishermen being kidnapped by Venezuelan groups. Some of these have been taken back to Venezuela and held while ransom negotiations take place. Further afield, local media reports have linked Venezuelan gangs operating in Cusco and Lima to a series of recent kidnaps for ransom in Peru. Police in July arrested 8 members of a Venezuelan kidnap gang following the attempted abduction of the daughter of a local businessman in Lima. So the perpetrators had intercepted her while she was driving near her house. They forced her to call her father and ask for $10,000 in ransom. This follows on the heels of a case in April where suspected members of a Venezuelan gang kidnapped a local businessman in Lima and contacted his family to demand $250,000 for his release.
So, looking at all these developments in Iran, how worried should businesses and individuals be?
Well, I think what's really important to state at this point is that we don't think that Venezuelan gangs themselves pose an inherently greater kidnap risk than other criminal organisations operating across Latin America. In addition, not all local reports of Venezuelan criminal activity are credible. We've recorded at least 2 incidents where fake audio clips have been circulated on WhatsApp, claiming that Venezuelan gangs were coming to Peru to kidnap children. An official from the Peruvian Anti-Kidnap and Extortion Division had to speak out in September to challenge the recordings and to reassure the public that there had been no incidents of child kidnap in the capital this year. However, it's also true that the crisis in Venezuela doesn't show many signs of abating. So that's likely to add another factor to an already complex extortion and kidnap environment on the continent for a while to come.
Emily, thanks very much for that. That's Emily Knowles, a senior analyst in our Special Risks Analysis team. You can see more of our analysis around kidnap for ransom and Latin America in general on our website, controlrisks.com. I'm Casper Layton. Thank you for listening, and bye for now.